Financial Services Group Discovery's valuation has fallen partially due to concerns around the impact of the NHI bill on private healthcare providers. And while the company supports the bill and doesn't believe that it means the death of its industry, it does warn that the restrictions it places on medical aid schemes will be counterproductive to the aims of the bill. The company will be making submissions on a wide range of issues raised in the bill. And Jonathan Broomberg, who's CEO of Discovery Health, joins us on the line now for a more in-depth discussion on how the healthcare provider has been digesting this new piece of legislation. Jonathan, thanks so much for your time this evening. So you've had time to digest the bill and its implications for the medical aid industry, where analysts and commentators have argued that this would effectively destroy the medical aid industry in South Africa. How hard do you see it hitting?
You know, to be honest, there's still a lot of clarification that's required, and we intend to engage very actively, as we've said, with the Minister of Health and his officials and other policymakers to clarify the issues. But based on our reading of the bill at the moment, we think there is clearly an ongoing role envisaged for medical schemes. I think if one does a careful reading, that becomes very clear. And as we've also said, It does really concern us that limiting the role of medical schemes would actually be seriously counterproductive.
Yeah. Let's hone in on that latter part that you've highlighted there, because according to the bill, the schemes are only able to provide a complementary or top-up coverage for services that are not covered by NHI. So within that scenario, your role would shift inevitably, right?
It would. I think one of the ambiguities in the bill relates to the actual wording that's used. The term is, that schemes would be limited to cover services that are not reimbursable by the NHI fund. That's the language used. If you then go to another section of the bill where it talks about, you know, how citizens or patients will get reimbursed, it's very clear that a patient has to follow a referral pathway, starting with their registered primary care clinic, moving through as they are referred to hospitals and specialists and so on. And it goes on to say that if the patient does not follow the pathway, the services that they get will not be reimbursable, and they can claim from their private health insurance. So I think it's quite interesting to see how that those clauses in Section 8 of the bill fit with the Section 33 around limiting schemes to complementary cover. The way I read it, it suggests that there's an ongoing role for medical schemes, where patients elect not to use the NHI services.
Jonathan, in that scenario, you would be banking on those who choose not to follow the processes set up by NHI and use their service providers. One assumes, though, that market is very limited given the current economic conditions and what the average South African consumer can afford given the shrinkage that we are seeing in disposable income.
Yes, I think that's a very valid point. You know, we are very aware of the increase in costs and the, you know, increasing pressures on households. Medical schemes have been and continue to innovate to find ways to, you know, bring more affordable products to the market, and we do need to work with the regulators on that. But let me say this, which is that if it turns out that the NHI is able to provide legitimate good competition and provide great services to citizens, and that results in hectic competition for medical schemes, it means that they shrink. I can tell you from Discovery's point of view, we think that would be a great development for our country.
Yeah.
And we would support that, which is why we've always said we do support this broad idea, and we'd like to put our shoulders to the wheel to make it work. But there's some big ifs there, and there's a lot of work before the NHI can actually provide a serious kind of alternative service to what medical scheme members, including very low-income medical scheme members, currently get from private healthcare practitioners.
Yeah. I was going to say, you were pretty emphatic about the if it can get going. Do you think that NHI is being set up to fail from the word go, given what has been tabled thus far and its interpretation of it?
No, I don't think it's been set up to fail. I think nothing's further from the truth. But I do think that the builders of this NHI face really significant challenges, and that all of us have to help them overcome those. But they do lead me to think, very, very hard about just how feasible the timetable is. and just how realistic some of the aspirations are, you know, given the huge fiscal constraints that our countries are operating under and the administrative challenges of something of this scale.
Yeah, where fiscal constraints that the country's under puts enormous pressure on the consumer. I want to go back to, affordability with your products specifically, Jonathan. How does all of this throw out your fee structures, your rates, your competitive advantage, where product offering, of course, would be smaller as NHI limits that scope, if that's what does come to the fore, with a smaller pool of members that sees you, of course, unable to leverage off economies of scale at the end of the day?
I mean, remember that the way medical schemes work by law in this country is that they are not-for-profit. Premiums are set to cover claims, and the administration side, where you get the economies of scale, is really only 10% of the total bill. So there may be some loss of economies of scale, but I would imagine that we would absorb that on our side, rather than push up the premiums for the members. So that's not, I think, the real consequence. The consequence we worry about is that, you have citizens of the country who, want to access private healthcare in the future, mm-hmm. and who may be told they cannot do that because of the law. I think that's the real concern.
So those your concerns and some of the issues you have with the bill, Jonathan. Is anyone listening? What level of engagement are you having with the Department of Health, the Minister of Health, with government on this at the end of the day?
Well, now that the bill's out, there's a whole lot of engagements that are already being set up and being planned. There are formal engagements. One of our key channels will be Business Unity South Africa, BUSA, which has a very active committee working on healthcare that spans all of business and the private healthcare sector together. And we're hoping to meet the minister very soon through that channel. The various, private sector organizations will meet with the officials in the Department of Health and the minister. We'll certainly engage the portfolio committee. So I think there's a number of engagements that are being planned. And, we sincerely hope that the policymakers and the minister will take seriously some of the comments that are made, because they're made in the spirit of trying to make this thing work, yeah. as opposed to trying to make it fail.
Jonathan, I picked up interesting commentary from your release on Friday, where you highlighted that you think that once fully emerged, the NHI will create additional opportunities for medical schemes to innovate in their products and for the development of new health insurance products outside of the medical scheme environment. Can you elaborate on some of that opportunity as you see it?
Yes, certainly. So I think that, the one thing that may certainly happen as the NHI emerges is that medical schemes will be required to provide a narrower and more uniform set of benefits that are more comparable between each scheme and the other. But it's been clear from the policymakers that schemes will then be free to be innovative around the edges of those core products with all kinds of other products that they can develop. And that's the one set of opportunities. We also believe that outside of the strictly regulated medical scheme environment, we'll see the emergence of other health insurance products that are not medical schemes. Today, as you have gap cover, you have low-cost primary care products, you have hospital cash plans, and there'll be an opportunity for a wide range of those kind of products that citizens will want to buy to plug the gaps that they see in the NHI system. And we see big opportunity there as well.
Well, an interesting shifting landscape ahead of us, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Jonathan Broomberg, of course, CEO of Discovery Health.